Well, today, as we started, it's kind of interesting because as we were praying, I was thinking about it's so easy to be weak. I mean, things can take over our body. We're here for a temporal time, and weakness can hit us at any time, and it happens to the best of the saints, you know? And it's just good to remember that God is in control of even that. So it's not by the weakness that we're weak when you're strong, or strong when you are weak. You know, when it's kind of the title today. If you don't have a little the handout, it's about that big. It's a pocket version. This chapter starts with Samson's weakness. Okay, we're going to have to talk about this subject because that's what's here. Now, Samson went to Gaza and saw a prostitute there where he had relations with her. And now, after 20 years as a judge, he went to Gaza and saw this harlot and fulfilled his desires with money. She was a prostitute. So, as with Samson, so with most of us, Samson had a problem controlling his sex drive from the beginning to the end of his life. That was huge for him. And not only for him, but many others like David, many of those in the scripture that have concubines and many wives. And that seemed to be a constant problem throughout history, and it is a problem today. Sex is a powerful drive. That is what is going on here with Samson. He is driven to this, and he falls at this point. Now, let's take a look at nature in general as we talk about this. We can look at Mark as he's going out deer hunting. Mark looks for certain things when he's looking for a deer, but how does he know which things to look for? What would be some of those things, Mark? I'm using you because you're up here.
I would look for tracks in the ground.
Tracks in the ground.
I would look for trees that have rubs on them or the rubber ants.
Who does that?
The male deer.
The male deers.
Yeah. Paw the ground and they make scrapes on the ground.
Exactly. And do you use anything to lure them?
I do. I use some stuff that doesn't smell real good.
Uh-huh.
I put it on my clothes. Yep. I'm supposed to smell like a deer, so they'll come to me. I use a noisemaker. I grunt like a deer.
Okay. So you are, and I like using Mark because this is one of the things as hunters we do. We lure the big bucks. We're not luring the little does. And what gets them is their relations.
Right.
So the only difference between humans, we have a conscience and ability to control our desires. It's not easy, but God requires this of us, okay? And so I'm going to say this, those that are out there in the, I'm going to say the word queers, perverts that practice these desires also sin, trading the natural for the unnatural. This has never been God's plan for mankind since the beginning of time. Desire must be harnessed, but today it is promoted. And that's why I say this, because as we look into our world today, the perversion is promoted and it's encouraged. And outside of marriage, try it out, do it this way or that way. So I want to know, I think it's as dangerous today as it ever has been. So what happens with this is much heartbreak in relationships. We can see that throughout the relationships with people, amongst other people that are crossing these borders outside of marriage. And that relationship really is breaking the relationship with what Christ has, our relationship with Christ, when we take on these sins. I would like to say this, though. In contrast with relations in marriage, which was set up and permitted by God, okay? So God gave mankind the desires to repopulate the earth. He gave us those desires, and they are a strong desire. Now, as we go forward here, I've read one verse so far, right? Okay. On the other side of the coin, we have a woman willing to use men's desires. Okay. Kind of like Mark and his big buck out there, you know, he leaves those desires to bring him in. And why do they do that? What happens there? Well, there's power, there's money, and that's basically what the prostitution is. Now, men aren't without guilt in this area either in relations with trickery, this greed and stuff for their own sake. But sometimes it happens by way of simple foolery, okay? I know of people, I know one pastor right now that's going through, he got in trouble in this area, a priest, CEOs, executives, got close to fire and got burnt because they got too close to the fire. And that's the problem. Samson has been caught in the trap of sin with a prostitute, and now with Delilah, who seems to be a prostitute in this story in a sense of a third party with some leadership. God gave Samson the strength and position as a judge. Like many men in Scripture, God used Samson for his purpose, but Samson failed to follow God's direction when it came to his personal life. You know, and we can see that in a lot of people's lives. We all fail to a certain degree and understand that we do. But here's what we need to do. Our first point, if you got your notes. First point, go to war against sin. This is the biggest battle I think we have in our life. Learn to go to war with your sin and Satan's world system. See, Satan's world system's out there right now attacking us, attacking our young people and people today. We need to go to fight to war against, not only for ourselves, but for other people sometimes, and let them know, Satan is after you. Be careful, okay? So although they can't, don't expect the problems or war to go away. It's not going to stop. It's been through all time. Although they can't be erased, they can be dealt with. To deal with them efficiently is to realize that they cannot be eliminated. The sin out there is not getting eliminated. We have to be able to deal with it. Don't think it just goes away. You can ignore things, but it's still there. You can have success in dealing with them, but you cannot eliminate them. So go to war against sin. That was my point one, okay? Now go back to Scripture. When it was reported to the Gazites saying, Samson has come here, they surround the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city, and they kept silent all night, saying, let's wait until the morning light, then we will kill him. All right? So now Samson lay asleep until midnight, and at midnight he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two doorposts and pulled them up along with the bars. Then he put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the mountain, which was opposite of Hebron. So I got myself some questions here because I'm trying to figure out who told these guys that he was there. Was it the prostitute? How did they know? You know, he was probably known enough maybe that they just recognized him. Why did he wake up at midnight? Why didn't he sleep throughout the night? Because later it seems like he likes to sleep a lot. And so why did he wake up then? And why carry the gate? Why not just leave him there? Why did he have to take him up there? Now, I looked up some of that stuff, and there's some people that say things, and I don't know where they get them because it doesn't make any sense to me, and they don't agree. So I'm not going to come up with a conclusion on that. But these gates and posts and stuff seem to weigh a lot. And the distance he went was 20 miles, some say 36 miles, carrying this stuff. So he was possessed with some strength. The Philistines surrounded Gaza, but Samson took up the doors and he went up there to Hebron, those 20 miles. He finds another woman in the Sorek Valley named Delilah. By the way, Satan will always go for your weakness, and Delilah seemed to be his at this point. So, point two, okay? What weakness do you fight? Okay? What weakness do you fight? Because we all have them. Ask yourself, what would it take for me to leave the path of discipleship? To be discipled or be a discipler? Would it be sex, the security of having money, a bad marriage, disease, or physical suffering? Bad parents or children? what weakness would you fall under? If there's anything that would get you to leave the path of discipleship, no matter what it is, you are an accident waiting to happen. It just is a matter of time before you fall. So I would say, make sure, know what your weakness is, and go to fight against that. Kind of got to get to know yourself. I usually ask Janine what my weakness is, then she gaslights me. After this, it came about that he was in love with a woman in the valley of Soek, and it was her. Verse 5, so, here comes the big so-so, okay? The governors of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and see where his great strength lies and how we can overpower him so that we may bind him to humble him. Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, I kind of figured that out a little bit, and the best I could tell that there's 11 governors, and they're each giving her that amount of pieces of silver. And today, that would be like $10 a little piece for those little pieces of silver, which would be about $120,000. That's the best I could come up with. So she's getting some cash. Now, that could be inspiring to her. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and how you can be bound to humble you. Now, the Philistines here, in verse 6, come to Delilah and they ask her to find out the secret of his strength. Based on what I read, he has strength, but they can't figure it out. There, a lot of people say that they think he was probably not a big guy. He was a smaller guy, and that he had this incredible strength, and they couldn't figure out. It had to be supernatural strength. Where did it come from? You would think at that point they would consider the God of the Bible, you know, because that just wasn't natural, okay? Samson said to her, if they bind me with seven fresh animal tendons that have not been dried, then I will become weak and be like another man. And then the governors of the Philistines brought up to her seven fresh animal tendons that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men prepare for an ambush in the inner room where she was at. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he tore the tendons to pieces just like threads of flax is torn apart when it comes to close to the fire. So that's what would happen. So his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah says to Samson, behold, you have toyed with me and told me lies. This might be a little bit of gaslighting going on here, but I think of I got my one little story. I was in Oklahoma and I was hunting, and I was quail hunting, and very unsuccessful with a friend. And we had our boots on, we had our hunting clothes on, and we were very dirty, sweaty, and not looking so good. And as we were coming back, he goes, you want to go golfing? I said, sure, but we don't have any clubs. We had like four clubs in an old bag in the back of his truck. So let's do this. So we went up to the golf course. It was called, we called it Goat Hill. It wasn't a nice golf course, called the Goat Hill. And we went in and they gave us another bag and a couple more clubs. Went to the first tee and there was two guys standing there. And we said to the two guys, they told us in the golf shop to join up with you guys to play. And they looked at us and they go, I don't think so. Now, my buddy was a pretty good golfer, and I obviously didn't have too much problem with it, but we went out there and we faked our golf swings. I was doing some funny stuff, and these guys were looking at us like, what in the world's going on? Yeah, I'm gaslighting. And we got there, and we were hitting the balls all over and come to the second hole and asked the guys, how do you hold that club? And they were showing us how to hold the club, and got about the third hole, and they were telling us how to stand and swing a little bit. The fourth hole, we let loose, and I got on one knee, hit the ball, and went 220 yards down the middle of the fairway, and they looked at me and go, I said, man, you guys are good teachers, and then we played along, and they just couldn't believe we set them up, you know. We didn't play for money, but it would have been one of those things. So the point is, You have toyed with me. We were toying with those guys. So here we are. Now, Delilah doesn't give up, of course. Now, please tell me, how you may be bound? Then he said to her, if you bind me with new ropes, which have not been used, then I will become weak. I think the golf clubs guy is giving, why don't you try one of these? Now, and be like any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson, for the men in the ambush were waiting in the inner room, but he tore the ropes from his arms like threads. I got to go back to that story a little bit. Why the heck is he letting her do that? I don't know. But she's tying him up, okay? Then Delilah said to Samson again, up to now you have toyed with me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my hair with the web and fasten it with a pin, then I will be weak like any other man. So while he slept, Delilah woke. Here he is sleeping now, because why did he get up in the middle of the night? I don't know. So he's sleeping and wove the seven locks of his hair with the web, and she fastened it with a pin, and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he woke up from his sleep and pulled out the pin and of the loom of the web. Delilah is not too happy at this point. So here she goes, and this is what Janine read. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have toyed with me these three times, and I have told, and you have not told me where you get your strength. And it came about when she pressed him daily and over again with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. Oh, my word. I know that one. No, not by Janine. So, golfers. I'm talking golfers. This is a technique to take advantage of someone through their heart. Example, I don't know if my daughter will listen to this one, but Dad, if you love me, you will get me this toy. And she says that with a pouty lip and a fake look of sadness. And it continues till I could fail and I can't hold on anymore in restraint. That's what happened to Samson here. He got pulled into it. He couldn't handle it anymore, annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, a razor has never come to my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like another man. So I'm wondering if he really knows the truth on this one, but it seems like she believes in this. It took Delilah four tries to get the truth. He told her three lies first. Samson finally let the truth about his cutting his hair out. But here's point three. Some things should be kept just between you and God. All right? Samson didn't need to tell Delilah this. He should have just kept that between him and God. That was their deal. They cut his hair. She said, the Philistines are upon you. Then Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart. She sent word and called the governors of the Philistines, saying, come in once more, for he has told me all that's in his heart. Then the governors of the Philistines came up to her and brought her the money in her hands. So she's paid off now. And she made him sleep on her knee and call for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. She had somebody else do it. Then she began to humble him and said to and his strength left him. She said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke from the sleep and said, I will go out as I at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him, and they gouged out his eyes. And they brought him down to Gaza and restrained him with bronze chains, and he became a grinder in the prison. A grinder is like when you grind something out. My man, my day was rough. It was quite the grind. It's like working. That's what that grind seems to mean. It's not like you actually get a grinder and grind something like coffee. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Now the governors of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and celebrate. For they said, "Our God has handed Samson, our enemy, over to us." There's a couple things happening here. Verse 20, Samson thinks he's got victory because he's gonna, you know, his hair. He doesn't know about his hair yet, but he becomes weak. The Philistines capture him, gouge out his eyes, and he becomes a grinder. Verse 22, the Philistines made a crucial mistake. They let his hair keep growing. Now, you would think they would have thought that through a little bit. And so it kept growing longer. And 23, and one day the Philistines have a party at this house, and they invite a whole bunch of people to kind of celebrate this. Okay? So when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has handed our enemy over to us, even the destroyer of our country who has killed many of us." Interesting. It so happened when they were in high spirits that they said, "Call for Samson that he may amuse us." So they're going to make a show of him. So they called Samson from the prison, and he entertained them. And they made him stand between the pillars. So there's two big pillars, main beams, I guess, of this building. And Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, who I wonder who that would be, a young boy holding his hand? "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests so that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the governors of the Philistines were there. And about 3,000 men and women were on the roof looking on while Samson was entertaining them. So they're all on the roof. 3,000, that's a big roof. It's a big building, obviously. Then Samson called to the... I'll go back here. Yep. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time." So Samson knew where his strength came from. It wasn't from his hair. He went right back to God. "Oh God, that I may at one time take vengeance." It's interesting. "Oh God, that I may at once take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." He wasn't caring about what God had to do. He was caring about his vengeance. And so here's Samson. Then Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with the right hand and the other with the left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed outward powerfully so that the house fell on the governors and all the people who were in it. And the dead whom he killed at the death were more than those whom he killed during his lifetime. Quite interesting that all of a sudden he kills all these people in his own vengeance. I always remember as a kid seeing this picture of Samson, you know, and he's like this huge giant thing with these poles, and they're falling over. His hair is just flowing beautifully. But he was probably a smaller guy. His hair is just coming back just long enough to do some business. And so here we are. Then his brothers and father came along and took him out and brought him up to be buried between Zorah and Eshtah in the tomb of his father, Memenah. So he had judged Israel for 20 years. So today, my fifth point that I looked at here, and I believe I said my fourth point too, didn't I? Oh, let's go back to that because I knew I put point four because I, in fact, I missed a whole part there, didn't I? Somebody say amen. There was point four, is God may no longer use you if in your sin, okay? It was the part of the passage where the saddest phrase that comes up, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Is that it's right at that point when he come to the place where we can sin and think that we won't it won't affect us. That is the saddest place. We think God won't leave, and we don't know when he has. So God no longer is using us in our sin. So be aware of that. It's point four. But I'm getting to point five now. Point five is this. Our strength comes from God, not our hair, or I'd be in trouble. So after being tied to the pillars, Samson prayed to God for his strength one more time. He realized that his strength comes not from his hair, but from God. Nevertheless, God did not renew his strength until the conditions restored his long hair. He restored his hair as a physical part of restoration for him to come back, but we also need to be restored from our sin in such a way. I think that really represented his sin, his hair. And God did not renew it till then. Also, notice that Samson, to the very end, never departed from the course of vengeance. He wanted to be avenged of the Philistines for his two eyes. He didn't commit suicide in there. He gave his life in the destruction of the enemy, but the revenge is what drove him out. So, this was a short passage, but I think it has a lot of good points to it. And as Mark started last week, he gave a lot of the details of where we're going and where Samson was going. But here we are at the end of his life, and he makes the big mistakes. He's never really been like the hero of the Bible, I would think, that we might see in the little kids' passages. He's kind of the guy that was struggling, and we're all kind of like that. We have our sins. We got to go to war for them. I think that's the biggest thing you can remember from this passage is you got to go to war against the sin. It's going to be there. It's never going to go away. It's always in front of you, and it's not easy, but the advantage of fighting, going to war for the sin, is not being taken over by it, because it will hurt your relationship, not only with others, but with God. So that is our passage today, and I'd like to close this in prayer, if you don't mind. Father, we have a lot in front of us, and a lot in front of us in this world, and we can see the sin around us. It's promoted, it's publicized, it's given out, and we can fall into that temptation just like anybody else. But Lord, I just pray that we can fight it off in our own soul, in our own heart. But may we be a witness to others that they can do the same thing. And I pray, you know, that many people have to come to the bottom of the barrel of life before they can even realize it. And I pray for those that are around us that we can be inspirational to them in pointing to you, Lord, to stop the flow of sin. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We appreciate our time on earth to work with you. But we are weak and you are strong. And we give this meeting, this time to you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.